Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got quite a lot to go through. It's going to be an action-packed episode. We've got product updates, battery projects, news on SpaceX that's actually relevant to Tesla, and then we'll talk about the stock and a couple other things as well. We'll start there though. So Tesla today finished down 5.8% to $563 even. That compared to the NASDAQ down 2.4%. So a continuation of the trend that we've been in for a while now, rotation out of higher growth tech stocks into more value-oriented stocks. The yield on the 10-year note continues to rise. It's at about 1.6% now, so the highest it's been in over a year, but still quite a bit lower than historical averages. This followed comments from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell last week, which the Wall Street Journal summarized by saying that he, quote, reiterated his intention to keep easy money policies in place, but provided no sign the central bank will seek to stem a recent rise in Treasury yields, prompting them to rise further, end quote. We'll circle back on that topic a little bit later on in the episode, but the other big macro news to be aware of, just in case you haven't seen it yet, over the weekend, the U.S. Senate did pass the federal stimulus package. That now goes back to the House of Representatives for a vote, which is expected on Wednesday. If that passes, then it will go to President Biden. All right, so moving into Tesla-specific news, the first thing that we have to catch up on here is some news on the full self-driving beta. So last Friday and Saturday, Elon was tweeting about the full self-driving beta. Friday saying, quote, if you want the Tesla full self-driving beta downloaded to your car, let us know. Doubling beta program size now with 8.2 and probably 10x size with 8.3. Still be careful, but it's getting mature, end quote. So unsurprisingly, this sent shockwaves through the Tesla community because how do you let Tesla know that you want the beta? Presumably, if you bought the full self-driving package, you probably want the beta. Personally, I don't think Tesla needs any more information than that, but people are tweeting at Elon, tweeting at Andrei Karpathy, emailing Tesla, which on Saturday, Andrei said to do, contacting service advisors, etc. So kind of a mess all around. Saturday, Elon then tweeted, quote, due to high levels of demand for FSD beta, adding download beta button to service section in car display in about 10 days, end quote. So what's not exactly clear is if that means they're kind of just saying like, all right, we give up, let's just give everybody the FSD beta that has ordered FSD. That's kind of how I interpret it, but there's also the potential still that maybe they just start managing the FSD invites through that download button and that kind of builds up a queue. So I guess we'll find out soon. The timing of that is a little bit weird. He says about 10 days, but that kind of falls in between the two timelines he gave us for 8.2 and 8.3. Because on Friday, he had tweeted, quote, beta version 8.3 has literally about 1,000 improvements, will take time to quality assure internally, before release, probably in 2 or 3 weeks, end quote. So you kind of think that with a version that's improving that much, they would just wait to broaden the release until that's ready, but that doesn't appear to be the case from his tweets on Saturday. So if I see anything on this, I'll be sure to pass it along as soon as possible. As for my own personal experience, I did get a software update on Saturday, the worst possible time to get one, because I was reading all these tweets about FSD, got the software update, but it was 2021.4.11, nothing to do with the FSD beta. While we are still on Elon's Twitter, one other quick tweet I think worth highlighting from Friday that may have fallen through the cracks a little bit. Elon tweeted, quote, Tesla AI, both hardware and software, is deeply underestimated, end quote. Maybe a good time for a reminder that Elon had previously said that we might see an AI day from Tesla later this year. Not that the market would understand something like that necessarily, just like we've seen with Autonomy Day, Battery Day, the Cybertruck unveiling, but nonetheless, I still hope Tesla does have that AI day. The fact that that's even a consideration is extremely telling and should not be ignored. Anyway, the other big news on FSD over the last few days has been from a Freedom of Information Act request made by Plainsight owner Aaron Greenspan, which has resulted in the release of some emails back and forth between Tesla and the California DMV. Now, before we go further into the topic, I would definitely not recommend visiting Plainsight. Aaron Greenspan has shown to be litigious. He's suing Omar of the Holmars account. He also has been shown to track IP addresses of those that visit Plainsight. If you do want to see the entire document, Electrek has uploaded a copy. It looks a bit overwhelming because it's 299 pages, but most of that is just an attachment from Tesla of the Tesla owner's manual. The actual emails here are more like 25 pages. So what's caught people's attention here is how Tesla's general counsel in these series of emails refers to the city streets aspect of the full self-driving option as a level 2 autonomous driving feature and then says that will remain the case in the final release. Quote, we do not expect significant enhancements in the object and event detection and response or other changes to the feature that would shift the responsibility for the entire dynamic driving task to the system. As such, a final release of city streets will continue to be an SAE level 2 advanced driver assistance feature, end quote. So Tesla naysayers have quickly taken that statement and say that it is proof that Tesla has no intention to ever deliver level 5 autonomy, and that in its final release, FSD is only going to be level 2. However, as always, context matters here. This conversation between Tesla and the DMV is very specifically about the release of the city streets driving feature, and final release in this context about this specific feature does not mean the final release of the full self-driving option as a whole. Rather, they're using final release here to represent the release of the city streets feature specifically to more than a limited group, to the entire fleet. This entire conversation is about the DMV understanding Tesla's plans for that release. Tesla here is then emphasizing that with this release, they are not actually doing level 3 plus autonomous driving. This is still level 2. The driver is still responsible, which obviously Tesla right now has to say from a regulation perspective because Tesla is not ready to take on that responsibility quite yet. This is not news. We all know that about the current stage of the FSD beta, which is what they're talking about here. They also continue on to say, immediately following that line that got so much attention, quote, please note that Tesla's development of true autonomous features, SAE levels 3 plus, will follow our iterative process, development, validation, early release, etc., and any such features will not be released to the general public until we have fully validated them and received any required regulatory permits or approvals, end quote. Basically, this entire thing can be summed up by the DMV asking, hey, what's the city street feature? Is this full autonomy? How are you making sure drivers are still paying attention? And Tesla just answering those questions. In other words, it's a non-story. Funny enough, despite this being, you know, a pretty minor thing, CNBC was able to dig this up and ask Cathie Wood about it today, Cathie Wood of Ark Invest, of course, on her appearance on CNBC, so let's run through that. For that particular response, I think they might have been trying to kind of catch her off guard, and although I'm not sure she was fully aware of the situation, she kind of responded in exactly the way you'd expect, talking about Tesla's advantage in terms of data collection and her still believing that they're really well positioned to advance autonomy, and that Tesla's progress has actually been faster than they expected there. Of course, the big question that everyone is asking Ark right now is when they're going to release their updated models on Tesla. She said they're, quote, about to publish. I'm hoping it's within a week or two, end quote. And she said that because of the progress that they've seen from Tesla on autonomy, they've increased their probabilities for Tesla to capture significant market share related to autonomous driving. Quote, so you might imagine the price targets have gone up considerably, end quote. So it'll be exciting to take a look at those when they do come out. As they did last time, I'm sure they'll have a range of different price targets for different scenarios. As for the rest of the interview, they ask her a lot about the macro situation, tech stocks in general. Obviously, the ARK funds are down pretty significantly over the last couple of months as well. And they started with interest rates. Cathie said the market was never pricing in long-term 0.5%, 1%, or 1.5% interest rates. They never believed that the market thought that that would stay forever. Quote, so we don't think that's why it's correcting, but the speed of rates increasing is spooking people, end quote. She suggested that ARK sees it as more of a rotation into value and cyclical stocks and views the bull market as broadening out to incorporate those sectors, which they see as an overall positive underlying strength for the market. About the drop in tech, they said, you know, they're excited about it because normally to take a stock in, they view that over 5 years, it should have a 15% return per year. That means a doubling over 5 years. So the only thing that's changed is that instead of getting a 15% return, when they buy at these lower prices, they're going to get more like a 25% annual return. It's the same concept we talk about with Tesla all the time. It's about the long term, and nothing has changed over the last couple of months to make that long-term outlook worse. All right, next year, let's get into a couple of product updates. We'll start with the refresh Model S, which we are starting to see a little bit more of. A new drone flyover video at Fremont captured maybe a couple dozen of refreshed vehicles. And really interestingly here, one of the refreshed Model S vehicles looks like it has third row seats. Elon did say on Tesla's Q4 earnings call that the refreshed Model S could seat 7, but we didn't see it in the design studio and we haven't heard anything about it since. Elon said they'd probably have a call in a couple of weeks to discuss all the changes with the refresh, and that doesn't seem to have happened yet, so if and when that does happen, hopefully we'll get the details on the third row then. Regardless of the third row seating though, great sign here to see a group of refresh vehicles, because up to this point we've really just been seeing one-offs. The other quick product news that we have here is on the Cybertruck. Elon tweeted on Saturday, quote, update probably in Q2. Cybertruck will be built at Giga Texas, so focus right now is on getting that beast built, end quote. Next up here, we've got a couple of pieces of news related to batteries, the first of which was uncovered by Bloomberg today. They posted an article with the title of, quote, Tesla is plugging a secret mega battery into the Texas grid, end quote, reporting on a battery project that they have uncovered that Tesla's working on in Angleton, Texas, which they say will be more than 100 megawatt hours. It's a big project for sure, but at this stage for Tesla Energy, it doesn't end up being all that significant, and that's a really great thing. In Q4 alone, Tesla delivered about 15 times the 100 megawatt hour scale that Bloomberg says this project is. So that would mean Tesla is effectively deploying a project like this basically once a week, or at least that was their rate in Q4. Now that includes things like power walls, and obviously the sizes of the projects are going to vary, But hopefully projects like this start to become so commonplace that they're only really relevant from a local news perspective. The thing I find most interesting about this one is that there was some level of secrecy here, so Tesla is doing the project under a subsidiary called Gambit Energy, and Bloomberg reported that, quote, people on the construction site appear to have instructions to avoid drawing attention or answering questions from passerby, end quote. And Tesla's doing this in a pretty small town. I think the population there is like 3,000 people, so kind of raises the question of, okay, if Tesla's doing that here, what other secret projects do they have going on from an energy perspective around the US or even internationally? And slash or, is this maybe a bigger project than what Bloomberg is guessing here? Not that 100 megawatt hours is small by any means, but what if the plans for this are actually much larger? Who knows, and I wouldn't bet on that, just kind of thinking out loud, but I do find the secrecy interesting. Also in battery-related news, Reuters reported late last week that Tesla has formed a technical and industrial partnership for a nickel mining operation in the nickel-rich French territory, New Caledonia. Tesla's involvement here in this partnership was facilitated by the sale from the current owner, Brazilian mining company Vale. Looks like 51% will now be owned by New Caledonia itself, with 19% going to another company called Trafigura, with the rest of the structure, including Tesla's involvement, being unclear. That being said, this is a big project, so this is for the Goro mine in New Caledonia. Vale took over the rights to that in 2007 as part of a $19 billion buyout of the previous owner, Canada's Inco. And at the time, they were targeting output of about 60,000 tons of nickel annually. Now, obviously, we don't know exactly where the nickel from this mine is going to go, even after this new partnership agreement. But if all that were to go to Tesla, that'd be enough for about a million vehicles, probably a bit more than that, depending on the exact nickel content in Tesla's new batteries and the size of the packs, etc. But Vale was never actually able to reach that level of production. Their mining output peaked in 2017 at about 37,000 tons instead. So definitely exciting to see Tesla involved in this project. Hopefully that gives an idea of scale though. This is not going to be the only thing that Tesla has to do to address their nickel supply. Next year, we've got a really interesting FCC filing from SpaceX that may have some implications for Tesla as well. This was filed by SpaceX last Friday, and I think first noticed by Tasmanian. In the filing, SpaceX writes to the Federal Communications Commission, quote, in this application, SpaceX Services seeks a blanket license authorizing operation of such end-user Earth stations for deployment as vehicle-mounted Earth stations, Earth stations on vessels, and Earth stations aboard aircraft, collectively Earth stations in motion, or ESIMs, end quote. SpaceX explains the request later on in the filing, saying, quote, moreover, consumers are interacting with broadband platforms in an increasing variety of ways. No longer are users willing to forego connectivity while on the move, whether driving a truck across the country, moving a freighter from Europe to a US port, or while on a domestic or international flight, end quote. So on an earnings call about a year ago, Elon Musk was actually asked about the possibility of including Starlink devices in Tesla vehicles, and here is his response.
It's certainly something that could be happen in coming years. There's no plans to do it this year. The focus of Starlink is really for high bandwidth, low latency connectivity for homes and businesses and I guess aircraft and boats and that kind of thing. But the antenna for that high bandwidth low latency thing is sort of about the size of a medium pizza, which you could put on a car, but I think is more bandwidth than you would really need. Technically you could buy one and just stick it on the car. It'll work. It's a phased array antenna.
Well, maybe just as a follow-up, for my follow-up, how would, assuming that we get the antenna form factor and cost down to a point where that could be integrated into the roof of a car, for example, cost effectively and aerodynamically, et cetera, how would compatibility with a Starlink architecture theoretically improve the Tesla customer experience or the capability of the network?
Well, I think it actually in most parts of the world would just use the cellular connectivity, just use 5G. It would be the recommendation, certainly in like any cities or something like that, But if you're out in the countryside and there's not good cell connectivity, then you could connect with a Starlink antenna. And you wouldn't need, you don't need to like have like gigabit level or level connectivity. You could probably 20, 30 megabits is probably fine. And then you could have a much smaller antenna. So yeah, I guess it could be good for making sure there's connectivity and outside of major cities and that kind of thing. But I mean, that's relatively obtuse. It's not, I'm not thinking about it very much, to be honest.
So putting this filing together with Elon's comments, I think Tesla probably will at some point end up using Starlink. but my guess is that it goes into the Semi. That's going to be a vehicle that on average probably spends more time in those rural areas. The surface area of the antenna is going to be less of a design challenge on a vehicle that size. The cost of the antenna is going to be a smaller percentage of the overall vehicle's cost, and it probably provides more utility with logistics companies tracking and managing their fleet than it would for passenger vehicles. My understanding is that Tesla wouldn't need 100% high bandwidth connectivity at all times for their passenger vehicles to be fully autonomous under their current strategy. So anyway, this filing from SpaceX, certainly exciting, I think, especially for boats like cruise ships, aircraft, and as for the ground transportation they do mention here, it is trucks. I mean, it would be really cool to have it as an option in the Cybertruck, because I think that's going to make for an amazing camping vehicle, and Starlink access would really take that to the next level. All right, wrapping up for today then, just a bit of news from Volkswagen on Friday. They announced that they have accelerated their electric vehicle plans. They now expect 70% of their European vehicle sales and 50% of their Chinese and US sales volume by 2030 to be all electric. Going off their 2019 volume by region, because obviously 2020 was suppressed, it looks like that would be a target of about 6.1 million vehicles per year being EVs, assuming they still plan to be at around that 11 million per year total vehicle production number. That would give them a target of about 55% of their production in 2030 being all electric. So we of course know Tesla's target of 20 million EVs per year by 2030. I think VW would probably come in second here in terms of volume aspiration with this 6 million target. With that, we'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, March 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.